Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Local Shop Podcast. I'm Chris Noyce, and this, as always, is the podcast for everything to do with the convenience sector and the issues facing local shops. I'm really excited to have some experts in confection with us today. I'm joined today by Susan Nash, Trade Communications Manager, and Alistair Hamilton, Field Sales Director from Mondelez. Very happy to have you here. We've taken the podcast on the road. This is a first for us, so fantastic to be here in what is an incredible setting, the archives at Mondelez, which we have the exclusive use of for this short period of time. So it's fantastic to be here. Mondelez, of course, are headline sponsors of conference, which comes to you at the Vox in Birmingham on April the 30th. So looking forward to seeing probably more than 500 of the best and brightest of the convenience sector there on the day. So we're here to discuss not just the archives, not just the history of Cadbury, which I'm sure you've seen everywhere around in the trade and in stores as well, but also to discuss some of the exciting things you've got coming up and some of the things you'll be talking about at the conference as well. But if we go right back to the start, and Mondelez International has been making treats for 200 years now, from chocolate and biscuits, including baked snacks, to meal-based products such as things like Philadelphia cream cheese, which are loved and trusted, of course, by millions of households across the country. But if we go right back to the start, where the story begins, early 19th century, with the opening of a modest grocer's shop in Birmingham. And Susan, take us there. Where do we start?
Okay, well, John Cadbury opened his store in 1824 at the age of just 22. And he used the family name Cadbury, which has now become one of the most trusted and respected brands there's ever been. But he wasn't just a successful businessman. He was a philanthropist, and he really believed that businesses should nurture the community.
Mm. And there are businesses that don't last very long, and those are the ones that are just focused on the commercials and don't have that wider picture of I say, philanthropy and other things as well. It is a fascinating history of the business, but why is it relevant to what retailers are thinking about at the moment?
Oh, I think it's very relevant. I think it's always good to know the heritage, the provenance of the products that are in your store. And if you look at, if you reflect on the early Cadbury business, there's a lot of their values and ways of working to their employees and how they worked with the independent trade, for instance, that still resonate right up to this day. So I think it's incredibly important to try and understand what products you have in your store and then also back that into how they can help you, or how brands can help you generate your business in the retail trade.
And we talk a lot about looking forward. We talk a lot about looking to the future. But and obviously, it's a fascinating history of the business and walking through the archives, and we should be able to show some clips as we go through this of some of the history of the business. When we look back, what can retailers learn about that history and why it's important?
Well, there's various learnings, but I think one key thing is that Cadbury's always bought unique products to the marketplace. They always try to add value to the market. So the very first example we see is the introduction of Cadbury Cocoa Essence, right, which is probably the biggest NPD the Cadbury business ever had. It probably made the business. But what they did was invest in technology.
Is that over there? Is that what that is?
That is indeed the sort of history of cocoa. And on the very top shelf, you see Cocoa Essence there. So okay. They're some of the original packaging.
Get a shot of that as we go through, yeah.
Yeah. So Cocoa Essence, what it did, it took the quality of cocoa products to another level. Mm-hmm. They invested in technology that allowed a better extraction process, which meant that they created a product that was more expensive to make, but far better quality. Mm-hmm. But they knew consumers would be prepared to invest in that.
Yeah.
So that added value to the total market. So if that added value to Cadbury's, added value for retailers as well. And when you look at the products that we've introduced to the business, that's what we're always trying to do. So that's a great example. Another great example is Cadbury Dairy Milk Chocolate.
Yeah.
There were milk chocolates available on the market at the time, but they wanted to create a creamier taste.
Yes.
So they developed a product that included fresh milk, liquid milk. They took a long time to develop that. There was trial and error in the process. But importantly, they created a fantastic new taste that consumers loved, adding value to the total market.
And that became the Cadbury selling point, the USP, the glass
that's
half.
Cadbury Dairy Milk that we know today.
And I find that whole part of the history incredibly interesting. I think fascinating, the whole confectionery wars of that time, and all of the product development that was going on, all the innovation. It's so fascinating to look back at where it was kind of innovate to succeed at the time. And and we've walked past as we're coming in the R&D development, as you said, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But fascinating that it's still going on and that innovation is still happening. So I'm sure there are also other lessons we can learn. Where else can retailers look in terms of those lessons about Cadbury and the story?
Well, we've continued to innovate and create unique products. And so more recently, we had the introduction of Cadbury Dark Milk, which identified that as our taste buds mature, perhaps we're looking for another taste profile. We also have the introduction of Cadbury Caramel.
Yeah.
So two examples, and we've got some other NPD coming along.
Absolutely. Just before we look forward, looking back very quickly, interestingly enough, Cadbury Dairy Milk originally was going to be called Cadbury Dairy Made.
Okay.
And it was being shown to some independent retailers. And I think one of those retailers' daughters, I believe, mentioned that Cadbury Dairy Milk would be a much more appealing name. And the rest, as they say, is history.
So a very live example of retailers acting as a very important focus group for the brand, and presumably that still continues to this day.
It does indeed, and an independent retailer no less. But so that's the past, and to build on a very important past, and to build on Susan's point around the modern market. We've seen over the last 2-3 years the growth in the duo sector.
Mm.
So. We brought out Twirl Extra as an example last year, which fits very well in that space, and it's going great guns.
And won a lot of innovation awards in the trade over the last year as well.
Absolutely.
So it's come down extremely well,
Yeah, we've been very fortunate to pick those up, and they're very, very welcome. And then, hot off the press in the next couple of months, we're going to be bringing out Starbar Duo, which is an absolute hidden gem for us.
And I have to pause there, because our chief exec, there is a kind of a running thing that, I've been at ACS 15 years. In the last 15 years, whenever someone's going to the shop at lunchtime, say, picking up sandwich and whatever, James, without fail, what do you want? Starbar. So the news of a Starbar duo will be absolutely fantastic. This will probably make his week. So I'll have to get on the phone straight after this and let him know. But sorry, I interrupted.
Big thank you to James, first of all. And I'm sure we can sort something out when we see him. But I think beyond the products, I think, Cadbury, the business, and now Mondelez has got a track record of, helping with things like range and display and merchandising and advising retailers. And that's something we try and, instill and keep going right up to this, up to this current point. And I think, retailers often ask us what we think and how we could help. And some of the ground rules are, I think, pretty, the brilliant basics, if you like. So make sure that every product earns its keep, constantly review what sells and what doesn't sell, give appropriate range and space and facings to those products so that people can see them. And also with NPD, there is a clamor for it, and it's worthy, but always try and make sure that anything you put in is going to do a better job than the thing you're taking out, right?
Mm.
And also try, I know it's hard, these are busy businesses, but try and review what is selling and what is not, and therefore keep flipping things around and just keep it fresh for the shopper. So these are the kind of things we can help with when
when
we chat to people. But it links back to our past as well.
Yeah. And you mentioned display there. Mm. In the archives, there's some fantastic examples of some very early displays. Susan, you probably don't need to tell retailers how important display is, but I mean, it's a crucial part of the business, right? And a crucial part of certainly this category as well.
Yeah, and display was so important to Cadbury business in the early days. I think John Cadbury was really ahead of his time. When he first set up the shop in Bull Street in Birmingham, he invested in the latest technology in terms of glass. So he invested in the glass that you could actually see through, which, believe it or not, was fairly new at the
right,
time.
Sure.
So it allowed him to sort of display his processes in the window. So create theatre, you know, from the pavement into his store. He also invested in creating features. So he would literally buy things in that of interest for his consumers. He later worked with retailers to develop point of sale. And you can see in the archive some really old point of sale that we've created over the years. And certainly his sons then went out to the out to businesses and found out what people really needed. And when we go back into the archives, we can see some early sketches that the brothers created. They then sent it out to our sales force and asked for opinions back from the trade. And again, these lovely wooden cabinets are examples of early cabinets that were created for stores. And even our own traveling sales reps had their own displays that they would create for retailers to purchase from.
Right,
so display was absolutely critical to the business, and I think he really was ahead of his time in that area.
And if we bring that right up to now, obviously a lot of those learnings, a lot of that advice is coming through the snack display platform. For anyone who's not incredibly familiar with the platform, explain what that's about and you know, why retailers should be using that platform.
I'll defer you to the expert in a second, but yes, snackdisplay.co.uk, we're really proud of it. I think it acts as many, it's got many facets to a retailer. First of all, it's their easy portal into our loyalty scheme. Mm-hmm. It's where they can access their, you know, their points, see what's new, etc. It does so many other things though as well. It has the ability to order point of sale. You can find out some category detail, what brands sell. You can even find, you know, barcodes, et cetera, et cetera. So there's many wonderful assets to it. And we're looking to, you know, grow that all the time. I don't know what you would say, Susan.
Yeah, and the other thing that's on the site is social media assets.
Of course.
So we have some animations on there regarding our retro packs that are currently out in market. So they're available for retailers to download and put on their own social media.
Okay. And that's great, because one of the things we hear a lot from retailers is, I love the product, I love the point of sale that I've got in store, I need that digital support as well. So to have that available for retailers to be able to promote the product and be out there talking about it as well is fantastic. So what's new on Snack Display? What's new on the platform, and how, you know, how Cadbury is working with the trade?
Well, currently we have competitions, and we always have a competition on Snacks Display. So that's important to flag to everyone. Always worth a look to see what's available to enter or get involved in. But at the moment we have our Great Ideas Exchange. And the Great Retail Ideas Exchange is really based on our history. We've taken inspiration from our history. When we looked back at the archives, we could really see how we've over the years worked with the trade for the mutual benefit of the whole trade, to help help everybody create better stores.
And as we heard earlier, independent retailers helping to create the name Dairy Milk.
So yeah, absolutely. It's two-way. Absolutely two-way. Yeah. There's some lovely stories. One story is about personalization of Easter eggs. So we had a situation where one of our traveling representatives at the time, this is going back to the 1890s, walked into a store and saw that a retailer was personalizing an egg using icing sugar, asked if it was okay to share the idea, went back to head office. It went out on the weekly sales notes, and some of the whole country was personalizing Easter eggs.
Yeah.
So that was a great idea. Another thing we did, and it makes me really think we were acting as a modern social media back in the 1890s. We often got communications from people looking for jobs in the confectionery industry, and we passed that information back out to our sales representatives, and that would often lead to retailers finding staff. And we would do the same with businesses as well. So if there was a business up for sale in a local area, we would pass that information on to retailers. So we were really helping to network and, you know, advising retailers. And then we created a lot of manuals about how to run a store. Mm. And where it was an area where perhaps we didn't have expertise, we would bring in other expertise. So we've got these books that date back from 1920s all the way to the 60s. Where we're advising in all sorts of elements of retailing, including things like stock rotation and account management.
Great. So tell us about the retailer ideas exchange. Yeah. That we're talking about now.
The retailer ideas exchange is based on those principles. And we're asking retailers to submit their great retailing ideas. They don't have to be massive ideas. They can be little things, little tips and hints that they've found useful.
I was talking with some people about this very thing actually over Christmas, and just those little kind of nuggets of information that might make a difference. And one thing I saw in a store that I've now seen elsewhere is it was in a reasonably small store, but it was the kids' size trolleys.
Yeah,
and I think it's just a fantastic little idea because they get more invested in it, and you know then they're you know, involved in the process, because I've got two young children myself, and getting them around a store without some kind of international incident is usually a problem. But you know, if they're with a trolley, then fantastic. So it's that level of kind of just those little tips of that kind of thing, which I think is fantastic. So if retailers have that, or anyone in the sector has these ideas, where does that all go, and then what's the process for that?
So there's a form on Snack Display. Simply have to write the idea in 300 words. They can do it in less, but up to 300 words, and that will be collated. They'll be judged by a group of independent judges, and the very top idea will win a prize of £5,000.
Wow, okay.
And then we also have 10 prizes of £1,000 and 20 prizes of £500.
Right.
But most importantly, we share all the ideas back to everybody.
Yeah, and that's the long term, the value. Absolutely. Where you know retailers can get that, which might make a huge difference to their store in the future.
100%. And ever since we started talking about this idea, about the ideas last year, I've just loved it. You know, I think of it like a digital time capsule that almost puts all these ideas in that can be shared across, you know, the retail environment, you know, for years and years to come. And some of the things we've heard are, you know, so brilliantly simple and small, you think, well, that could make a huge difference to all. And I think we've already had some leading retailers, we've captured their ideas, and they're on snackdisplay.co.uk. So you can see some examples. But I think for me, I really loved the sort of the giving back nature of it to the trade, much like the Cadbury Brothers did all those years back.
Absolutely. And of course, some of this activity is heightened around this year because of the 200th anniversary. So what else is happening in the coming weeks and months around this kind of activity? Obviously, the archives are, I would say, brand new, but they're not. They're kind of 200 years old. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What else can retailers come to expect over the next weeks and months, including at our conference, of course?
Yeah, so there's lots of activity. But something else that's live at the moment is the Cadbury Big Win Win.
Yes, which we have a big sign about here. Yeah.
So how that works is that retailers need to stock singles and duos. That's all they have to do. Mm-hmm. Our top selling products will have a promotional flash on them, but all singles and duo products will be included in the promotion. And retailers just have to display the product. We have lots of point of sale, and there'll be lots of media as well promoting to the shoppers what they have to do. Shoppers purchase the product. They go onto the website, which is bigwinwincadbury.co.uk. Mm-hmm. They enter product codes from their pack. They're instantly told whether they're a winner. But if they are a winner, they then have to nominate their local independent store.
Brilliant.
Or store of their choice.
Sure.
But it has to be an independent.
Okay.
And they too will win. So there's lots of prizes available, aren't there?
Yeah, there's 70 prizes of £1,000, and then there's 60 prizes of £500, and that's matched between shopper and retailer. So one wins, they both win. So we just love that sort of you know, fabric that you know, the local shopper and the local shopkeeper can win together. Yeah,
it's so rare to find that as well, because there's so many promotions that are targeted at consumers, and retailers are just kind of the conduit for that. And there are, you know, there are trade facing promotions that are just for retailers, and consumers are kind of not involved. And I always think back to something which isn't necessarily an active thing, but you know, when there's a millionaire in a local shop, your lottery terminal is gold.
Yes.
And it's that kind of thing that it has a benefit for both, because it draws more people in. And you know, not just down the road, actually. So Sunder, Leamington Spa, has had like 2 or 3 millionaires in stores, kind of the luckiest store in the country or something. And it's that kind of thing that I always find really nice, is when you can have something that benefits the retailer and the consumer. And also it makes those links stronger between you thinking, oh, actually my local shop is XYZ. And I think Cadbury have been very, very good with that in terms of the advertising and I think back to the child paying with the buttons and that kind of thing for Dairy Milk. I thought those kind of things really cut through as to that community value of retailers.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, you need to give me the name and address of that store, so I can buy a lottery ticket. But no, absolutely. And whether it's our you know, our field team, the Cadbury field team has been, you know, sort of well renowned since the mid 1800s. Our very first rep, Dixon Hadaway, who was Scottish, so lovely circular piece there. But right up to the present day, you know, we've got over 2,200 years of experience in the field sales team. We're currently recruiting to swell those numbers by another 22 people. So we see the huge importance of having people relating to the local independent stores. So, you know, first of all, and then as you say, the brands speak to, you know, every household, every shopper, every consumer. And you know, and every shopkeeper, every retailer, they know the value of having the right range in the store. So yeah, and then beyond that, you know, we've got so many ways that we can help them, you know, in store, not just promotion, but you know, range advice and merchandising, and you know, and also the sort of the point of sale suite that allows them to display other people's products and ours, you know, expertly. So you know, creating better sales for all. It's very important to us to have such a big presence in the independent channel.
Great. So what can retailers do if they're looking for more help on the category or more engagement with any of the promotions or you know, just sales in store? What's the kind of path for retailers to do more on that?
Well, first of all, they can come and visit us at the NEC. We're on stand S41.
Yep.
So our stand will be all about the great retail ideas exchange, but we'll also be talking about big win-win as well. And we have a new football promotion to talk about too. So come and visit us there. We're also at the ACS. Conference
yeah,
as well,
April 30th.
Yeah. So there we will have a sort of mini Cadbury museum, which will have the history of Cadbury's, but we'll also be there talking about Big Win-Win, lots of our other Mondelez products, as well about the Great Ideas Exchange too.
Yeah.
And then we will have a panel session as well at the NEC. And Alistair will be leading the panel.
Yes, sorry. Yeah, that's at Monday, 11:45, yep. I think. Monday. And the theme of the talk is making the most of your manufacturer relationship.
Sure.
You know, so we'd love to see as many people and hear as many views as we can in that. And just to build on Susan's point, if you're not coming to either of the shows, you know, you can get in contact with either Lee's sales rep, or you can phone into our retailer services. The number's 0870 600 0699, or we have an email which is retailer.services@mdlz.com.
And what we'll do is we'll put those numbers in the description. Great. As well. So you can have that.
So you can contact through all those methods, and we can get someone out to you know, to help with merchandising or advice or whatever it is. Yeah, we'd like to be very available to people. Yeah.
Great. Well, I think that pretty much covers everything we've been looking to get through. It is a privilege to be in the archives and looking around. I'll promise I won't break anything. it's all very well protected. But looking forward to seeing you both and members of the team at conference and at the NEC for the show, and of course throughout the year as well. So please do visit us at conference if you haven't booked already. Make sure you do so. April 30th. We're looking forward to seeing over 500 of the best and the brightest of retailers here. It makes me sound like I'm saying available in all good stockists. If you're there, you're a good retailer. Not quite the same, but yeah, really, really appreciate taking the time to speak about this, and look forward to seeing what other activity we've got for the Retail Ideas Exchange. We must follow up on that for some of the ideas that retailers have talked about. And until then, we'll speak to you next time. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you.